Okay, so we're going to start our session with BCE. It's my pleasure to have Glen LeBlanc, EVP and CFO of BCE, with us today. Glen, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Adam.
All right, well, we'll jump right into it. Notwithstanding the pandemic, you're not easing up on your CapEx spend this year. So perhaps talk about some of your key spending and operational priorities heading into this year, and whether these have changed at all in the context of the backdrop.
Well, Adam, as we've spoken about many times, our priority is to continue to advance our network leadership position. As you've noticed from announcements recently, we're expanding our 5G. I would call this early 5G, our foundational 5G, and our readiness plan, so that when we do have access to 3.5, we'll be ready to go. Fiber investment is continuing. I think we've seen through this pandemic that the importance of networks and how lucky we are in Canada to have the networks that we have, that our investment in fiber has not slowed at all. If anything, you know, we're trying to move faster. Same is true in wireless to the home, and in particular, that's a network investment that we're trying to advance, as many rural Canadians find themselves working from home, and if we can move faster with bringing wireless to the home coverage of 25 meg to maybe as much as 50 meg services to their home, I think it's a welcome addition to their home, as they probably have networks that just can't meet the demands now. So it is all full steam ahead on what I would call network investments. This is not a time to slow down. If anything, this is a time to accelerate and ensure that we continue to make the investments for Canadians to have network leadership.
In terms of obviously the data center sale, something we talked about a year ago, obviously got concluded on June 1. Proceeds can easily use or be applied to the 3,500 megahertz auction. Can you talk about, besides future auction spending, any other potential capital allocation items to consider?
I would say, Adam, you hit the nail on the head on the most important investments we have on our horizon is 3.5 spectrum and ultimately a number of spectrum auctions that will be in front of us with millimeter wave on the heels of that in the next year or two. So I think what you've seen from us in the last few months is a focus, first of all, on liquidity. When the pandemic began, the first thing we wanted to ensure was the strength of our balance sheet, access to liquidity, to ensure that we can continue to support the dividend through this, with none of us having any idea of duration or severity, to be honest, to continue to fund the necessary investments to advance this business. Nothing would be worse than having to hold back or pull back on network or self-serve or self-install or online tool investments at a time like this. We have to have the cash flow to do it. And a divestiture like the data center just strengthens that position. So here we are heading into, unfortunately, a delayed auction. We were hoping that the auction would not be delayed. We're ready to go. We already have 3.5 spectrum that we'd love to get deployed. We've started our early 5G announcements, and we're ready to go. I think the strong balance sheet that BCE has, the already existing 3.5 spectrum position we have, like, puts us in great position to kind of weather the storm, if you will, for this pandemic, and not concern investors of the continuation and strength of the dividend, coupled with our investments and the ability to participate in the upcoming auctions, kind of full steam ahead. No one's in a better position than we are.
Glen, I want to jump into wireless. Talk about how stores are being opened as we speak, to close out the Q2, and sort of how, signs of life, particularly, at the consumer level, might be percolating, in June versus perhaps the last 2-3 months.
Yeah, well, when you have the largest retail footprint in the country, and that was shut down some 60 days ago, I guess now, obviously we watch transactions come kind of to a grinding halt. Very, very few transactions were occurring, and those that were obviously had to happen through online tools. We did our best to improve those tools and make investments, and I can assure you we're going to continue to make the necessary investments to serve the customer better as we kind of look out to the future and will consumer behavior change in the way consumers want to be served with online tools and self-serve tools. But now we're starting to see stores open, and it's early days. Some nice early signs, but I think we have to be cautious. About 50% or so of our stores have reopened now. Naturally, malls and kiosks will be slower in many large cities to open, particularly in GTA. But it will be interesting to watch kind of consumer confidence. So it's one thing to open your stores. It's another thing to see if foot traffic comes back. And I think it's suffice to say it won't come back to historical levels overnight. But this is the start of, I think, allowing consumers to get out, build their confidence that they can enter retail stores and be safe. I can assure you we've made the necessary investments in PPE and plexiglass and setting up our store procedures such that our employees and ultimately our customers will be safe.
Glenn, do you think this is the market, sir? We go back to double cohort noise a few years back, and the industry sort of went very aggressively with $0 handsets, which I think was fantastic in terms of really stimulating the market. Given the comments you just made and acknowledging that, yeah, there might be some slowness to the resuscitation of spending by the consumer, maybe there's one school of thought that, there's natural spending to be unleashed because it's been pent up. On the other side, maybe the market requires some incentives, to reinvigorate that spending. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think we've done a great job in the first quarter, really going back to last year, of watching the industry shift and move towards installment.
Right.
Adam, you and I have spoken about this a number of times, and as we've watched handsets escalate in price, what we have unfortunately watched is subsidies track along that same continuum. And it wasn't sustainable. And it seemed like no matter how expensive the handset, this industry would find its way to zero at some point during the year, whether that be back to school or Black Friday or Boxing Day. I think that the industry and what we've done at BCE is aggressively moved to installments. This pandemic certainly was a time for us to get our house in order and move there as our stores reopened, and that's where we're at now. I think that gives us a really good opportunity to mitigate the transaction enticement costs, because that's what it is. We're constantly enticing customers to transact, and I think we need to be disciplined, and we need to be careful, because if we do, all the goodness that can come from reduction of that transaction enticement cost will be given back and given away. We're on the front end of 5G. The handsets are just starting to roll out. I think the early adoptions of 5G will be just the real techies, and I think there'll be time in the future when people will want to look for the new handset when the 3.5 spectrum is in play and they can truly see network differential. So I don't think this is the right time for aggressive enticement.
Okay, well, that makes perfect sense. Maybe along those lines, and notwithstanding, obviously, the strength of your retail platform, given the success we see out of Videotron BYOD, is this an area that we might expect you guys to push a little bit more aggressively on, especially if people potentially hold on to phones longer and maybe await the next cycle of 5G?
Of course. I think that is a cycle we're starting to see, is that the handsets that have been launched, although, as I mentioned, the overly tech-savvy individuals may see the difference and be excited for the new devices. The average consumer is hanging on to their handset longer and longer, managing their own finances, probably think, hey, I can live another 6 months, maybe a year with this device. It serves my needs just fine. So that gives a great opportunity for us to ensure that we have BYOD packaging in place that meets the consumer's needs, has ever-increasing data buckets so that they can meet their growing data needs. So I can assure you that we will be playing in that space and watching it carefully because I think it's a great opportunity.
Glenn, on the ARPU front, ARPU reverted in wireless to the negative in 4Q19, and of course, you know, COVID has clearly impacted the H1 this year. How do you see ARPU resuscitating? When might we potentially see a return to positive growth?
Well, that is a great question, Adam. I think the biggest area affecting ARPU right now, and I think it's suffice to say probably affects it through this calendar, is that of roaming.
Yeah.
You know, at any given time, we have a significant amount of roaming revenue that we earn, and that is, for all intents and purposes, dried up with you know, 90-plus, 95% of the roaming not occurring in this country if we look at the number of Canadians that are traveling abroad. So the question really is, that's not a surprise, and nothing I would have said surprises you or any investors for Q2, but when does that recover? Do we start to see Canadians confident enough to start moving domestically in the coming quarter? Do we see borders open up in the second half and then Canadians confident enough to start moving? I think it's suffice to say that we will probably see an impact on roaming throughout calendar 2020, and let's hope with appropriate vaccines and treatments that early 21 starts to see a significant recovery. But that's your biggest impact on ARPU. We've done a real good job managing the base on data overage. You know, that has not accelerated. You know that I've spoken before that it's not a race to the bottom.
Right.
I think our job is to manage that base. Of course, we know which direction it is headed, but do so in the most responsible manner is to manage that decline. The pandemic has given us kind of a brief acceleration because people are home. So they're on their Wi-Fi network, so there would be less data overage. But again, that's manageable. The roaming is by far the biggest impact on our wireless business right now.
Speaking of manageable, you know, we're seeing wireless CapEx intensity come down in the last 2 years, and perhaps it's around 8% or maybe even lower this year. Where should we think about this metric going after 2020 as you sort of gear up for 5G deployment?
Well, we've had some pretty good success with wireless CI in that 7-8 range that you allude to. We've said publicly that you can think more 9-10 as we make our 5G investment. Now, the advantage we have over many, and was CI for wireless really 7-8, or was it artificially reported as lower? Because I didn't allocate a portion of our fiber network investment to wireless. And here we are with advancing 5G network, which requires fiber backhaul to the cell sites. And we're in the enviable position of having the largest fiber network in the country. So, you know, was my wireline CI really a little higher than 7-8? My wireless a little higher and my wireline a little lower? Maybe. But the important thing is modest increase in CI, very, very manageable in an envelope our size as we implement 5G. But the most important thing is a big portion of the 5G fiber investment is behind us and done.
Right. So let me follow up that question as we flip over to wireline. You know, the fiber traction continues. You've just alluded to it. I think you're around 54% penetration across the entirety of the footprint. How should we look at this? Should we look at this as a, you know, potentially 5 to 6 years to get to 80%, after which maybe wireline spending declines more materially? Or are there different considerations that may surprise for a quicker and bigger drop, you know, below that annual envelope related to this effort?
We believe that ultimately we'll have, as the population grows and housing starts continuing in this country, that it will have upwards of 12 million homes that will have to serve in our territory. And we think that between 9 and 10 million of those, 9 and 9.5 million can be served by fiber. We've announced that we'll do over 1 million homes, or up to upwards of 1 million homes, with wireless to the home. So said differently, Adam, it probably leaves in the vicinity of, you know, 1.5 to 2 million homes that currently are just not economical to serve via fiber. Now, with programs that the provincial governments are launching and federal programs like Connect to Innovate, can we get to some of those over time with technologies like wireless to the home or technologies like fiber to the home right now? You know, I guess that's the hope we'd like to see ultimately, a fully connected Canada. We're doing about 600,000 or 700,000 of those homes a year, whether it be with fiber or wireless to the home. So, you know, if you say 700,000 a year, if, you know, the next 5 to 7 years, you get to a point when that footprint is, for all intents and purposes, done. Yep. And then the attention turns to, and well, I guess it will turn along the journey to, what technology and ability do you have to serve rural Canada and that last 1.5 million homes?
If we look at cord cutting, cord shaving, maybe you can talk a little bit about, you know, what your expectations are going forward. We know that that's a secular trend. We know that you guys are pretty good at having your cake and eating it too in terms of how you manage through some of these long tails. Can you just speak to, you know, any evolving trend and perhaps expectations into the back half of the year or into next year in the context of potential consumer belt tightening?
I'm going to ask you to repeat the front end of that, Adam, because you were breaking up and I didn't hear you. My apology.
Just in terms of cord cutting and cord shaving, what your thoughts are in regards to prospects
Sure.
of things turning perhaps a bit more negative in regards to what otherwise has been a, you know, an evolving secular trend, but one that you guys have always been pretty good at in terms of managing the long tail of that challenge.
Well, isn't it funny that during a time like this, home phone is actually is sexy again. So
I'm on my Bell home phone right now as we speak.
My point exactly. I think many Canadians realize how valuable their networks are at home now and how lucky we are to have these networks. We've seen a reduction in churn in all of our products, but one as an example is home phone. People are not cord cutting right now, and they see the value in having that wired connection. But move along our other product lines. You know, bandwidth requirements in the home, when 4 or 5 people are home and 2 kids are video streaming, people realize that having a fiber network that can offer you 1 gig or 1.5 gig is extraordinarily valuable and maybe the lifeline to your home right now. I can't imagine too many homes could survive or feel like they're able to work from home, educate the kids from home without having that broadband connection. And then finally, cord cutting in the form of TV. I think during this time, particularly in the front end when we were in colder months, many Canadians found themselves home with the only source of entertainment being Crave TV or watching streaming services or watching CTV News to get caught up with what's happening in your province or what the federal government had to say that day. So we have not seen an acceleration of cord cutting through this time. And if I would say anything, it's strengthened the importance of having the connection and having the connection to news and entertainment in your home.
So Glenn, business is about a third of wireline. You know, we just touched earlier on you removing the data center business, which will be treated as a discontinued op moving forward. But what's the early prognosis for this and perhaps even next year in regards to enterprise spending and to the extent that you can nuance that with smaller business customers as well?
Yeah, on the larger business side, we have not had much difficulty yet. Certainly, we work with our enterprise customers to work on payment terms, and if there's any help we can give in that regard, we have entertained it where required. Many of our enterprise customers have found themselves needing more services, more audio bridge, more video bridge, and that's played out well for us. So I would say on the enterprise space, feeling quite strong about the business. Naturally, we're always concerned when something like this goes on for long durations that organizations will begin struggling. But for now, what the government has done, I think we've been able to weather the early storm. On the SMB front, it's a little bit of the same in that the government subsidy and some of the programs have allowed small businesses to, in many regards, survive. They've been closed. This is hard on them. I would say it's an area of the business I'm most concerned with, in that you will see likely an escalation of closures and bankruptcies and inability to reopen. You know, even small restaurants who can take comfort from the economy opening but are told that capacity is 50% just may not be profitable or economic for them to do so. Put it in perspective, though, that's only about, you know, 5% of our overall revenue. So, you know, 15% of business, and business is a third of our overall. So although I'm concerned, and although, of course, we're managing our provisions, we're watching our collections, we're doing everything we can to work with these businesses to set up, you know, acceptable payment terms, there will be an escalation of bad debt, albeit manageable.
We talked a bit before about the 3,500 megahertz auction that unfortunately was postponed by 6 months to next June. You know, you're already well positioned here with 30 megahertz of spectrum. How do you see the auction unfolding? Is there any chance that we get surprised by potential higher spending? And I say that obviously without you or I being able to gauge, you know, whether or not MVNO comes into Canada and whether there are additional bidders in the mix. But even if there are additional bidders, we know that they'll be relegated to the zone of set-asides. So anything that you can do now, a year in advance, to handicap spending next year?
No, I think what, you know, I don't think we can. I think there's far too many variables and far too many unknowns, and the one that you mentioned is a big one. I think if we get clarity on MVNO, I think that clears a runway for existing providers to feel confident that they can make the spend on 3.5 and ultimately get the return on their investment. Without clarity in that, it certainly puts in question, you know, what do you pay for 3.5 and what kind of return can you get when you have an uncertain future? Yeah. What I'm comforted by, the largest balance sheet in the country, continued to grow our liquidity, sold our data centers. As you mentioned, already have a very healthy 3.5 position. Regardless of what happens in pricing, we can be there, we will be there, and we will not spend as much as others because of already having an existing position. And as we know, there will be a cap.
Right, and that's the net takeaway. Maybe with about 5-6 minutes left to go, one quick question circling back to the regulatory front. You touched on this a couple of times, but, you know, I guess, what is it, about 10 days from now, you'll have a virtual court drama in regards to a federal court appeal process. Can you speak to, you know, any thoughts in terms of how that file is progressing, your evolving dialogue with the government, and, you know, notwithstanding the fact that the CRTC, strangely enough, asked for resubmissions post-COVID, is there any sense that whole wireless review has advanced at all in the last 4 months?
Well, let's take a broader perspective on the regulatory front and not just that one file. Here's what we do know. The government did come out and ask for us to ask for many of the affected parties to submit any change in feeling or change in attitude that might have transpired because of the pandemic. That we know.
Yeah.
We also know that in regards to the fiber to the home file, the government has come out last Friday and said that there would be a delay and they would leave the interim rates in place as they give further consideration to what the right model is for the future. So, Adam, we've had tremendous dialogue with the government, and we've continued to support Canadians by building in the network. And are we seeing a shift here where the government wants to take a pause? They want to work with us, work with providers, and say, okay, what has transpired in the pandemic has proven out one thing, that if we invest in the networks at times like this, we will be rewarded. Had we had an MVNO model many years ago, had we experienced what the UK experienced with a reduction in investment and a hold back in investment and an inability to invest as you are uncertain of your return, where would we be today? And I would like to think that this model has proven out that we will invest, even at a time when there's so much economic uncertainty. Who's investing right now? We are. Our industry continues to make sizable investments to support this economy. We want to bring broadband to Canadians. We want to bring services to Canadians. So is this a time for us to work with policy providers, with government agencies, with regulators, to find a path that meets Canadians' needs and meets our needs and doesn't stifle investment? And I don't know that we've ever had a more compelling business case that none of us wanted to be in than this pandemic.
I think on that note, although I'd love to go on much longer with you, Glenn, I think we'll leave it there. For those that participated on the line, welcome for joining us. For Glenn, I wish you and the family all the best for the summer, and stay safe.
Thank you, Adam, for your time, and thank you for those that joined us. Stay safe.
Thanks again. Bye-bye.